The following assessment of the state of the empire in the year 3508 of the reign of the Lord Leto is taken from the Welbeck abridgment. The original is in the Chapter House archives of the Bene Gesserit order. A comparison reveals that the deletions do not subtract from the essential accuracy of this account. In the name of our sacred order and its unbroken sisterhood, this accounting has been judged reliable and worthy of entry into the chronicles of the Chapter House. Sisters Chenoway and Tosuoko have returned safely from Arrakis to report confirmation of the long-suspected execution of the 9 historians who disappeared into his citadel in the year 2116 of Lord Leto's reign. The sisters report that the 9 were rendered unconscious, then burned on pyres of their own published works. This conforms exactly with the stories which spread across the empire at the time. The accounts of that time were judged to have originated with Lord Leto himself. Sisters Chenoway and Tosuoko bring the handwritten records of an eyewitness account which says that when Lord Leto was petitioned by other historians seeking word of their fellows, Lord Leto said, "They were destroyed because they lied pretentiously. Have no fear that my wrath will fall upon you because of your innocent mistakes. I am not overly fond of creating martyrs. Martyrs tend to set dramatic events adrift in human affairs. Drama is one of the targets of my predation. Tremble only if you build false accounts and stand pridefully upon them. Go now, and do not speak of this." Internal evidence of the handwritten account identifies its author as Iconiker, Lord Leto's majordomo in the year 2116. Attention is called to Lord Leto's use of the word predation. This is highly suggestive in view of theories advanced by Reverend Mother Syaxa that the God Emperor views himself as a predator in the natural sense. Sister Chenoway was invited to accompany the fish speakers in an entourage which accompanied one of Lord Leto's infrequent peregrinations. At one point, she was invited to trot beside the royal cart and converse with the Lord Leto himself. She reports the exchange as follows. "The Lord Leto said, 'Here on the royal road, I sometimes feel that I stand on battlements protecting myself against invaders.' Sister Chenoway said, 'No one attacks you here, Lord.' The Lord Leto said, 'You Bene Gesserit assail me on all sides. Even now you seek to suborn my fish speakers.' Sister Chenoway says that she steeled herself for death, but the God Emperor merely stopped his cart and looked across her at his entourage. She says the others stopped and waited on the road in well-trained passivity, all of them at a respectful distance. The Lord Leto said, 'There is my little multitude, and they tell me everything. Do not deny my accusation.' Sister Chenoway said, 'I do not deny it.' The Lord Leto looked at her then and said, 'Have you no fear for your person? It is my wish that you report my words in your chapter house.' Sister Chenoway says she could see then that the Lord Leto knew all about her mission, her special training as an oral recorder, everything. 'He was like a reverend mother,' she said. 'I could hide nothing from him.' The Lord Leto then commanded her, 'Look toward my festival city and tell me what you see.' Sister Chenoway looked toward On and said, 'I see the city in the distance. It is beautiful in this morning light. There is your forest on the right. It has so many greens in it, I could spend all day describing them. On the left and all around the city, there are the houses and the gardens of your servitors. Some of them look very rich, and some look very poor.' The Lord Leto said, 'We have cluttered this landscape. Trees are a clutter, houses, gardens. You cannot exult at new mysteries in such a landscape.' Sister Chenoway, emboldened by Lord Leto's assurances, asked, 'Does the Lord truly want mysteries?' The Lord Leto said, 'There is no outward spiritual freedom in such a landscape. Do you not see it? You have no open universe here with which to share. Everything is closures, doors, latches, locks.' Sister Chenoway asked, 'Has mankind no longer any need for privacy and protection?' The Lord Leto said, 'When you return, tell your sisters that I will restore the outward view. Such a landscape as the freedom your spirits can find within. Most humans are not strong enough to find freedom within.' Sister Chenoway said, 'I will report your words accurately, Lord.' The Lord Leto said, See that you do. Tell your sisters also that the Bene Gesserit of all people should know the dangers of breeding for a particular characteristic, of seeking a defined genetic goal. Sister Chenoweth says this was an obvious reference to the Lord Leto's father, Paul Atreides. Let it be noted that our breeding program achieved the Kwisatz Haderach one generation early. In becoming Muad'Dib, the leader of the Fremen, Paul Atreides escaped from our control. There is no doubt that he was a male with the powers of a reverend mother and other powers for which humankind still is paying a heavy price. As the Lord Leto said, "You got the unexpected. You got me, the wild card, and I have achieved Siona." The Lord Leto refused to elaborate on this reference to the daughter of his major domo, Maneo. The matter is being investigated. In other matters of concern to the chapter house, our investigators have supplied information on the fish speakers. The Lord Leto's female legions have elected their representatives to attend the decennial festival on Arrakis. Three representatives will attend from each planetary garrison. See attached list of those chosen. As usual, no adult males will attend, not even consorts of fish speaker officers. The consort list has changed very little in this reporting period. We have appended the new names with genealogical information where available. Note that only two of the names can be starred as descendants of the Duncan Idaho Golas. We can add nothing new to our speculations about his use of the Golas in his breeding program. None of our efforts to form an alliance between fish speakers and Bene Gesserit succeeded during this period. Lord Leto continues to increase certain garrison sizes. He also continues to emphasize the alternative missions of the fish speakers, de-emphasizing their military missions. This has had the expected result of increasing local admiration and respect and gratitude for the presence of the fish speaker garrisons. See attached list for garrisons which were increased in size. Editor's note. The only pertinent garrisons were those on the home planets of the Bene Gesserit, Ixians, and Telealaxu. Spacing guild monitors were not increased. Priesthood. Except for the few natural deaths and replacements which are listed in attachments, there have been no significant changes. Those consorts and officers delegated to perform the ritual duties remain few, their powers abridged by continuing requirement for consultation with Arrakis before taking any important action. It is the opinion of the Reverend Mother Syaxa and some others that the religious character of the fish speakers is slowly being devolved. Breeding Program. Other than the unexplained reference to Siona and to our failure with his father, we have nothing significant to add to our continued monitoring of the Lord Leto's breeding program. There is evidence of a certain randomness in his plan, which is reinforced by the Lord Leto's statement about genetic goals, but we cannot be certain that he was truthful with Sister Chenoweth. We call your attention to the many instances where he has either lied or changed directions dramatically and without warning. The Lord Leto continues to prohibit our participation in his breeding program. His monitors from our fish speaker garrison remain adamant in weeding out our births to which they object. Only by the most stringent controls were we able to maintain the level of reverend mothers during this reporting period. Our protests are not answered. In response to a direct question from Sister Chenoweth, the Lord Leto said, "Be thankful for what you have." This warning is duly noted here. We have transmitted a gracious letter of thankfulness to the Lord Leto. Economics. The chapter house continues to maintain its solvency, but the measures of conservation cannot be eased. In fact, as a precaution, certain new measures will be instituted in the next reporting period. These include a reduction in the ritual uses of mélange and an increase in the rates charged for our usual services. We expect to double the fees for the schooling of great house females across the next four reporting periods. You are hereby charged to begin preparing your arguments in defense of this action. The Lord Leto has denied our petition for an increase in our mélange allotment. No reason was given. Our relationship with the Combine Honnête Ober Advance Mercantiles remains on a sound footing. Chome has accomplished in the preceding period a regional cartel in Star Jewels, a project whereby we gained a substantial return through our advisory and bargaining functions. The ongoing profits from this arrangement should more than offset our losses on Gidi Prime. The Gidi Prime investment has been written off. Great Houses. 31 former great houses suffered economic disaster in this reporting period. Only 6 managed to maintain House Minor status. See attached list. This continues the general trend noted over the past 1,000 years, where the once great houses melt gradually into the background. It is to be noted that the 6 who averted total disaster were all heavy investors in Chome, and that 5 of these 6 were deeply involved in the Star Jewel project. The lone exception held a diversified portfolio, including a substantial investment in antique whale fur from Caladan. Our pongee rice reserves were increased almost twofold in this period at the expense of our whale fur holdings. The reasons for this decision will be reviewed in the next period. Family life. As has been observed by our investigators over the preceding 2,000 years, the homogenization of family life continues unabated. The exceptions are those you would expect: the guild, the fish speakers, the royal courtiers, the shape-changing face dancers of the Tlaelaxu, who are still mules despite all efforts to change that condition, and our own situation, of course. It is to be noted that the familial conditions grow more and more similar no matter the planet of residence, a circumstance which cannot be attributed to accident. We are seeing here the emergence of a portion of the Lord Leto's grand design. Even the poorest families are well fed, yes, but the circumstances of daily life grow increasingly static. We remind you of a statement from the Lord Leto which was reported here almost 8 generations ago. I am the only spectacle remaining in the Empire. Reverend Mother Syaxa has proposed a theoretical explanation for this trend, a theory which many of us are beginning to share. R.M. Syaxa attributes to Lord Leto a motive based on the concept of hydraulic despotism. As you know, hydraulic despotism is possible only when a substance or condition upon which life in general absolutely depends can be controlled by a relatively small and centralized force. The concept of hydraulic despotism originated when the flow of irrigation water increased local human populations to a demand level of absolute dependence. When the water was shut off, people died in large numbers. This phenomenon has been repeated many times in human history, not only with water and the products of arable land, but with hydrocarbon fuels such as petroleum and coal, which were controlled through pipelines and other distribution networks. At one time, when distribution of electricity was only through complicated mazes of lines strung across the landscape, even this energy resource fell into the role of a hydraulic despotism substance. R.M. Syaxa proposes that the Lord Leto is building the Empire toward an even greater dependence upon mélange. It is worth noting that the aging process can be called a disease, for which mélange is the specific treatment, although not a cure. R.M. Syaxa proposes that the Lord Leto may even go so far as introducing a new disease, which can only be suppressed by mélange. Although this may appear far-fetched, it should not be discarded out of hand. Stranger things have happened, and we should not overlook the role of syphilis in early human history. Transport, Guild. The 3-mode transportation system once peculiar to Arrakis, that is, on foot with heavy loads relegated to suspensor-borne pallets, in the air via ornithopter, or off-planet by guild transport, is coming to dominate more and more planets of the Empire. Ix is the primary exception. We attribute this in part to planetary devolution into sedentary and static lifestyles, and partly it is the attempt to copy the pattern of Arrakis. The generalized aversion to things Ixian plays no small part in this trend. There is also the fact that the fish speakers promote this pattern to reduce their work in maintaining order. Over the guild's part in this trend hangs the absolute dependence of the guild navigators upon mélange. We are, therefore, keeping a close watch upon the joint effort of Guild and Ix to develop a mechanical substitute for the navigator's predictive talents. Without mélange or some other means of projecting a highliner's course, every translight Guild voyage risks disaster. Although we are not very sanguine about this Guild Ixian project, there is always the possibility, and we shall report on this as conditions warrant. The God Emperor. Other than some small increments of growth, we note little change in the bodily characteristics of the Lord Leto. A rumored aversion to water has not been confirmed, although the use of water as a barrier against the original sandworms of Dune is well documented in our records, as is the water death by which Fremen killed a small worm to produce the spice essence employed in their orgies. there is considerable evidence for the belief that the Lord Leto has increased his surveillance of Ix, possibly because of the Guild Ixian project. Certainly, success in that project would reduce his hold upon the Empire. He continues to do business with Ix, ordering replacement parts for his royal cart. A new Gola, Duncan, Idaho, has been sent to the Lord Leto by the Tlaelaxu. This makes it certain that the previous Gola is dead, although the manner of his death is not known. We call your attention to previous indications that the Lord Leto himself has killed some of his Golas. There is increasing evidence that the Lord Leto employs computers. If he is, in fact, defying his own prohibitions and the proscriptions of the Butlerian Jihad, the possession of proof by us could increase our influence over him, possibly even to the extent of certain joint ventures which we have long contemplated. Sovereign control of our breeding program is still a primary concern. We will continue our investigation with, however, the following caveat. As with every report preceding this one, we must address the Lord Leto's prescience. There is no doubt that his ability to predict future events, an oracular ability much more powerful than that of any ancestor, is still the mainstay of his political control. We do not defy it. It is our belief that he knows every important action we take far in advance of the event. We guide ourselves, therefore, by the rule that we will not knowingly threaten either his person or such of his grand plan as we can discern. Our address to him will continue to be, "Tell us if we threaten you that we may desist," and "Tell us of your grand plan that we may help." He has provided no new answers to either question during this period. The Ixians. Other than the Guild Ix project, there is little of significance to report. Ix is sending a new ambassador to the court of the Lord Leto, one Hui Nori, a niece of the Malki who once was reputed to be such a boon companion of the God Emperor. The reason for the choice of replacement is not known, although there is a small body of evidence that this Hui Nori was bred for a specific purpose, possibly as the Ixian representative at the court. We have reason to believe that Malki also was genetically designed with that official context in mind. We will continue to investigate. The Museum Fremen. These degenerate relics of the once proud warriors continue to function as our major source of reliable information about affairs on Arrakis. They represent a major budget item for our next reporting period because their demands for payment are increasing and we dare not antagonize them. It is interesting to note that although their lives bear little resemblance to that of their ancestors, their performance of Fremen rituals and their ability to ape Fremen ways remains flawless. We attribute this to fish-speaker influence upon Fremen training. The Tlaelaxu. We do not expect the new Gola of Duncan, Idaho, to provide any surprises. The Tlaelaxu continued to be much chastened by the Lord Leto's reaction to their one attempt at changing the cellular nature and the psyche of the original. A recent envoy from the Tlaelaxu renewed their attempts to entice us into a joint venture, the avowed purpose being the production of a totally female society without the need for males. For all of the obvious reasons, including our distrust of everything Tlaelaxu, we responded with our usual polite negative. Our embassy to the Lord Leto's decennial festival will make a full report of this to him. Respectfully submitted, the Reverend Mothers Syaxa, Gitob, Mamulut, Eknikosk, and Akili.
Odd as it may seem, great struggles such as the one you can see emerging from my journals are not always visible to the participants. Much depends on what people dream in the secrecy of their hearts. I have always been as concerned with the shaping of dreams as with the shaping of actions. Between the lines of my journals is the struggle with humankind's view of itself, a sweaty contest on a field where motives from our darkest past can well up out of an unconscious reservoir and become events with which we not only must live but contend. It is the hydra-headed monster which always attacks from your blind side. I pray, therefore, that when you have traversed my portion of the golden path, you no longer will be innocent children dancing to music you cannot hear.
The Stolen Journals.